hour number three on a busy Tuesday, the Gary Sharp Show. After a Monday night of the Jets and the Pats and a shutout at MetLife Stadium, we're going into November. The team that has the most wins at MetLife Stadium is the Buffalo Bills with two. They've beaten the Jets and the Giants. Learned something else last night, George. Joe Bartle, our fantasy guy, comes your way tomorrow at 1 from RotoWire. I'm sure it's happened plenty of other times, but Sam Darnold finished with negative 7 fantasy points last night. Ghosts.
I think I saw Le'Veon Bell out there on the field trying to do something.
Yeah, that's a little bit rough with him in New York with that offense. Then you wonder, could Pittsburgh have? No. When did you bail last night on the Jets and the Pats? Did you wait until the Star Wars trailer?
Well,
did you get out earlier?
I started with WWE Raw, and I was like, oh, let me go check out the game. I watched maybe about half the second quarter. I was like, well, this is not going to be good. And I just went straight to my phone. Yeah, it was bad.
The NFL absolutely hates ESPN. They give us Miami and Pittsburgh next week on Monday Night Football.
Oh, that's so bad.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz, part of the Fox crew doing the World Series. Kelly, he's not the biggest Joe Buck fan. There's a lot of people that are not Joe Buck fans. I'm okay with Joe Buck. Joe Buck called the only Chicago Cubs World Series in my lifetime. I thought he had a perfect call in the Altuve home run. But we don't have as much angst towards the ESPN crew from last night. But when a game goes south and it becomes a blowout, and I'm gonna ask this for my own, you know, if we run into here the wintertime or I've had plenty of high school games this fall that have been blowouts. When a game goes south, like a national broadcast, do you want the broadcasters to continue to treat it like it's a normal game or, to be honest with you, like Mike Tirico has been on games like this and say the game is absolutely brutal? Do you want honesty in a blowout? Like last night, Joe T and Booger treated the safety like it was a game-changing play. Do you want that, or do you want them to transition into basically a talk show where you talk about general NFL issues and it's less about what's going on in the game? Because I think all of us as broadcasters, we wonder that. Hey, we've on Cox, we've had a rough slate of high school games this fall. We haven't had a lot of close games. And it's high school, and you know, mom and dad are listening, and we try and get as many names into the broadcast when backups come in. But you balance, hey, do we go to the general issues of high school football and what's going on and recruiting? Or do you stick with it and try and make it you don't change. The score might change, but you don't change your broadcast. I think Mike Tirico is one of the best when a game goes south broadcasters. Because he's not going to treat it like it's a normal game when it's 33-0. He's going to transition into talking about either the after effects of a game like that or what's going on around the NFL. Because it can be unwatchable TV, and last night, that was plain unwatchable.
Raw ended early, and I had to go check. I was like, oh, let me just check out what's going on. But I agree with you. Mike Tirico is very good at balancing the two.
I think most people want you to not... people are not dumb. Okay?
Right.
There you go.
There you go. Yep.
I take... people are not dumb. You can't fool people. You can't go out on the field on a Saturday and turn around and say, hey, Monday's practice was the best we ever had. We're not dumb. All right? We're smart. We think for ourselves. Or at least I hope so. What was the old Whoopi Goldberg line? Put lipstick on a pig? Yeah. When a game goes south, I think us as broadcasters, me as somebody that's consuming it, it's okay to tell me that the game is bad and don't treat it like 33-0 and that 2nd and 5, 6-yard pickup for the Jets is like a great thing. And Joe T needs to holler. Stop hollering. Our discussion at the end of last hour about the major sports and how they treat their opening days. Eric has a good one. NASCAR starts with their Super Bowl, the Daytona 500.
That's the way to go.
I posed the question with Indiana on the horizon for Nebraska, and impressed by Indiana, they made some strides. They're always going to be a basketball school. I don't think that'll ever change, and I think if you're in Bloomington, you don't want that to ever change. That's bad for your basketball program, and if ever comes a point where football is greater than basketball, you're going to make a significant change so that basketball always stays at the top. And you really haven't had extended periods of success on the football field where the basketball would be any threat. But Tom Allen knows his place at Indiana. They have paid $800,000 for an offensive coordinator. Their facilities have improved. He's a coach that's got a plan and hasn't changed. They've been very aggressive in recruiting. They know who they are. They don't deviate. They're going to be a solid football team coming into Lincoln. Total defense, they're 18th in the country. Nebraska's 64th. Total offense, Indiana's 31st, Nebraska's 74th. The one area where Nebraska is better is rushing offense. Nebraska's 40th in the country. Indiana is 90th. So this is the first of five for Nebraska to finish the year and find a way to become bowl eligible. You need two, but man, if it's just two and it's a grind, how you feeling then? Because I'm going to give you some stark reality. That's a 2-3 mark. Yeah, you got 15 practices and you're going to a bowl game. Whew. You'd rather finish the year with a little bit of momentum. So 7-5, knowing everything you know now, consider it a success. So ranking from the most difficult to the least difficult from me on the five remaining games for Nebraska to win. Most difficult being Wisconsin. I still think Wisconsin wins the West. Now they'll have to do it on their own and get some help because Minnesota after this weekend will still have zero. Wisconsin after this weekend will have dos. The next most difficult game is this Saturday against Indiana. Not knowing what Nebraska's personnel situation looks like due to injuries, or I'm still curious about where they are between the ears, and they're going to face a football team that would like to make a statement and become bowl eligible on somebody else's field, I think this game is difficult for Nebraska this weekend. The third most difficult game is Iowa. The fourth most difficult game, in my opinion, is Purdue. And the least difficult is Maryland. Wisconsin, Indiana, Iowa, Purdue, Maryland. Most difficult to least difficult in the remaining five games to find a way for two. Go ahead and be greedy. Find a way to three. Quick break. Come back. Bottom of the hour, Andy Kendi from KETV will join us. Tom Chattel also, before we're out of here, we have saved a good discussion with Tom that south of here is a major discussion today. The border war is back. It was like the Monday Night Football game sucks, good sports news drop. Now, not necessarily good, the news coming out of Houston regarding their assistant general manager, but Kansas and Missouri announced last night that the border war is coming back. Six-game series will start up next year and include a couple of games in KC and, more importantly, back on campus. These two bitter rivals that broke up when Mizzou went to the SEC, they're back. Tom's been part of that. If you've ever had a chance to be in a building for a Mizzou KU basketball game, that is pure hate. The old Hearn Center, Allen Fieldhouse, what an atmosphere. So I'm sure Tom has a thought or two on the border war coming back. And then we can reminisce because we all miss Big 8 basketball and the characters that were involved back in the day before sold out and went to the Big 12. All right, 12-11. There's George. Everybody wish George a happy birthday on Local Music Thursday. Wouldn't it be nice, George, if somebody called up and sang you happy birthday on air? Would you like that? Would you feel uncomfortable?
No. I'm here for that.
Happy birthday to you.
I look forward to my happy birthday song from Miss Cynthia up front. It hasn't happened yet.
Really?
Every year.
Does she put her own spin on it, or is it normal happy birthday?
It's normal happy birthday, but she can actually sing, so it's actually good.
Do you think you could convince her to come into the studio and sing on air?
Yep, I can make a birthday wish.
All right. Cynthia's still single, right? No? She got a man? She got, that's right. Okay, it's okay. She's got two gentlemen callers. Why'd all of a sudden get uncomfortable in the studio? Facts are facts. We don't judge around here. We just discuss on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.